Good morning, everyone. Indeed, it is my privilege to come and bring a word of encouragement that the Lord has encouraged me with as I have prepared this message. And it's, again, a fairly simple one. It's a principle that a lot of us do understand. But there's a lot going on in people's lives at the moment. There's a lot going on in our nation. There's a lot going on around the world. And I think we need to listen to that scripture, encourage one another all the more as we see the day draw near. So my message this morning is called God always fulfills his promises. Not maybe or some of the time or only if you're in the right place or things are going well. No, God always fulfills his promises. And we're going to look to begin with at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're just going to look at verses 8 to 10. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. God is always faithful to his promises, and his timing, well, his timing is very precise and very impeccable. And God is a long time in preparing his suddenlies. But when they will come, we must be ready. We must be expectant now. We must be trusting him and looking to him to fulfill the promises that he has made. Now, the scripture that we've just read in 2 Peter chapter 3 is primarily referring to salvation and God's long-suffering patience towards us and about the events at the end of the age. But God's character, God's attributes, who God is, does not alter depending on what he's doing with us, on what he's saying, on what is going on in the world. He is always faithful to his promises, and we see it there in 2 Peter chapter 3, and so we can apply that principle to other areas, other things in our lives, and so we can rely on him. If God has promised, then he will see things through to completion. God is 100% invested in our lives. And no matter how small and insignificant that we might feel we are, God cares, he loves us, he has a plan and he has a purpose for each and every one of us. And everyone needs to be in that center of his will and being able to be used by him so that his plans and purposes, his promises are fulfilled. At the moment, we know that there are a number of folk crying out, "How long, O Lord? How long? How long until we see the salvation come to our family? How long until we see the promised outpouring of your Holy Spirit? How long until we see our faith turned to sight? How long, Lord, until we see you resolve things that are in our lives and in the situations that surround us? And how long, O Lord, until we see your promises fulfilled in our lives? How long, O Lord?" So this morning we're going to have a little look at scripture, and we're going to see what happened in many characters' lives from the Word of God. Who waited? How long did they wait? And did God come through? Was he faithful to them? King David knew this agony of heart, and he wrote in Psalm 13, starting at verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. In this psalm, we can see that David thought that God had forgotten him, that God had hidden his face from him. David was anxious and in internal turmoil, which made him heartsick and sorrowful. How long, O Lord, will I face these things? David feared for his very life, and he knew the constant challenge of the enemy right before him. And there is much that we can see that David went through that makes us identify with the tests and the trials in our own lives. How long, O Lord, we might find ourselves asking. We will see from Scripture that some people waited decades. Others only waited days. But God always came through for all of them. He is faithful to fulfill his promises. In Psalm 13, where David has cried out in anguish, oh, how long, O Lord, finishes in verses 5 and 6 with these statements, but I have trusted your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. The biggest trial, the biggest challenge in all the trials that we face is how do we respond? How do we respond to God? Are we trusting in his steadfast love? Is our heart rejoicing in our salvation? Is we have a heart overflowing to sing to the Lord because he has indeed dealt bountifully with us? So let's just have a little look at some of these characters from the Bible. Moses. Moses waited 40 years on the far side of the desert before he finally stepped into God's promise, the calling on his life to set God's people free. Abraham didn't even get started on his mission for God until he was 75 years old. When God told him then to leave his home and leave his family and travel to a land that I will show you. And God promised that Abraham's descendants would fill the earth. Abraham must have asked, how long, O Lord, will you fulfill your promise to me? Especially when no offspring came along and he and Sarah were getting older. Taking matters into his own hands, which is never, ever a good idea. At 86 years old, Abraham fathers Ishmael to Sarah's maid. This is a rebellious son to a disobedient father. Never take matters into our own hands. Finally, God, who is forever faithful to his promises, allows Sarah to bear Isaac when Abraham is 100 years old and she is 90. Abraham waited 25 years for God's promise to be fulfilled, and he made mistakes and errors along the way, but still God was faithful to fulfill his promise. Jacob worked for 14 years to marry his beloved Rachel. How awful it must have been for him when he felt he was tricked into marrying the older sister, Leah, and then had to work another 7 years after that for Laban to earn Rachel. Hannah waited for years until the Lord opened her womb and gave her the gift of Samuel, a son who would change the course of the entire nation. A son whom she returned to the Lord as a young child to go into the temple and to learn under Eli's covering. Joseph. Joseph spent 13 years in prison until he became second in the land to Pharaoh. And the dreams that God gave him, the promises that God gave him through dreams, were finally fulfilled. Saul was busy persecuting Christians, and he was dramatically saved on the road to Damascus by a bolt of lightning and the voice of God. And even though as Paul, he immediately began to preach in Damascus, after this conversion, he spent 3 years, likely in prayer and in study of the scriptures, before embarking on his famous 3 missionary journeys that forever changed the world and continue to change us all these years, millennium down through the ages. Did you know that there were 11 years between Paul's conversion and when he and Barnabas were separated out by the Holy Spirit for the first apostolic journey? That 11-year period is 1/3 of Paul's entire ministry time. And then there was Jesus himself, who at 12 years old was in the temple listening to the leaders, the teachers, and amazing those around him with his understanding of scripture and what he was able to share. 12. He waited another 18 years until at age 30 he began fulfilling the promise of the Father to do and complete what God had for him. Signs and wonders and miracles and teaching came through Jesus all the way to the cross. All of these people can put our personal cry to the Lord about how long, Lord, how long before you fulfill your promise to me? It kind of puts them into perspective a little, doesn't it? The trouble with our modern, fast-paced, instant society is that we are impatient and we lack endurance. How many times have you been on the end of a phone call where you've heard the voice say, "And we will attend to your call as soon as possible"? Currently, we are experiencing longer than normal wait times, but your call is important to us, so please stay on the line. A recent survey found that 60% of customers felt that being on hold on the telephone for just 1 minute was too long. We expect instant. The light goes on when we switch it down. The car engine roars into life when we turn the key or press the button. Heating happens quickly. The computer gets turned on. The internet comes up on our screen. We can make phone calls and send texts and emails. And we can have social media responses in an instant. You can have answers to absolutely any question you like through Google. 25 million results on one question in 0.0001 seconds. Instant. We are so used to this being the norm in our lives that when things are feeling delayed or we're not feeling as if there is progress with what God is doing in our lives, then we find ourselves, "How long, O Lord?" But we need to take a reality check and get into the Word of God and see how God works His plans and purposes out in people's lives. So, there are instant responses in Scripture. There are things that God has done already that are instantly ours. Have you ever thought about that? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." Scripture says that God has already given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness through knowing Jesus and receiving God's promises. That is instant. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Verse 4. He has already granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. God has already done that. That is done instantly, these incredible promises, so that we can become more like Jesus, who loved us enough to die for us, so that we could enter into the fullness of these promises. We are now instantly free from judgment, free from guilt and condemnation, and as soon as we confess our sins, we receive instant forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That's instant. We don't have to work through things to earn forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just instantly to forgive our sins and to cleanse us instantly from all unrighteousness. So why then does it take so long to walk in the fullness of what God has freely given us, or to receive the things that we feel that God has promised us? Are we doing something wrong? Is there something we're missing? Why is this not happening? How other things do seem to happen so quickly? So we're going to have a little look this morning at some of the things that impact that growing into the receiving of those promises. To begin with, things can seem really easy when we first come to the Lord. When we pray, it seems that based on any promise found in the Bible that seems to be relevant to us, within a very short time, things come our way. And that often happens when we're new Christians, and it builds our faith and our trust. But then God wants to grow us. He wants to stretch us. He wants to mature us. And so the instant answers and the instant provision seems to dry up somewhat. When we were first saved in 1973, we were newly married. We both had good jobs. We bought our first home. And we bought a brand new Toyota Corolla in British Racing Green. And we had developed a really good group of lovely Christian friends. We felt very blessed and were thinking how wonderful this Christian life really was. As we grew more serious about our walk with the Lord, and we told Him that we wanted to be used by Him, things seemed to go awry. By 1977, we had no jobs, no home, an old 1959 Austin A40 car with holes in the floorboards, a small baby, and many friends who didn't understand what was going on, and nor did we. We made an appointment to go and see one of the lovely elders of the church that we were attending at the time to pour out our sob story and to ask him, where have we gone wrong? Dear Ivor Davies was a retired missionary who had been in the revival in the Congo in the 1950s, and he now headed up WEC. Ivor listened very carefully with a small smile on his face. Well, he asked thoughtfully, have you told God that you are serious about serving Him? Oh, yes, we have, we replied. That's why we can't understand why everything's gone haywire. We thought He'd be really pleased with our decision and our heart's desire to move on with Him. Well, Ivor went on, you need to know that God has taken you at your word to serve him, and you are exactly where he wants you to be. And that brought some understanding. The trials kept coming, the challenges were still there as we continued on our journey. We felt that God was calling us into full-time ministry, pastoral ministry, so we submitted this to our church eldership to pray about. They got back to us a month later and said, right track, wrong timing, which God had already shown us. It wasn't until 8 years later that we started in our first pastorate in 1984. Romans 5 verses 3 to 5 says, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Are you feeling weary while waiting on God? Maybe you're feeling a little bit tired of the suffering that seems to be happening in your life. Don't lose heart. God knows. He knows exactly what's going on. And if you've said to him, I want to be the person you've created me to be, I want to be in the center of your will, doing what you've purposed, then you can be assured that God has heard that cry from your heart, and he hears and knows what's going on right now, and he's got a plan and a purpose. Our job is to be cooperating with him. Our job is to not lose heart and continue, knowing that our suffering, our endurance, and our patience will produce that wonderful Christ-like character within us. God is using this time of testing to help grow us in character and maturity, and he will use this time of waiting for our good and his glory. Without these lessons that are taking place in our hearts right now, we won't have the character or the maturity or the understanding or the knowledge of his word that we need to step into the fullness of the promises that he has given us. His plans and his purpose will come to pass at that right time, that precise, impeccable timing that belongs to the Lord. We need to trust him because he is at work. Why then does it take so long to walk in the fullness of what God has freely given us, or to receive the things we feel he's promised? Most promises take some time. As we've seen from Scripture, some promises took months, years, or even decades before the characters experienced them in their ministry, in their bodies, in their relationships, and in their finances and their goals. It's the same for us. Why is that? If God loves us as much as the Bible says he does, and if he has all power, and he has already given these promises that cover every aspect of our lives, why does it take so long sometimes? One reason that God is working out his promises and purposes over a period of time is that he's doing a lot of other things apart from us. There are things going on in history. There are things going on in nations. And there are things going on in entire people groups. There are things going on in your family, in your workplace. All of those things, God needs to have all the parts coming and fitting together like a very big jigsaw puzzle. And so it's not just about me, my, and I. It's just, Lord, how long and where are you and when will this come to pass? There are other things that need to fall into place with other people and other situations that God needs to be working out at the same time. Trust him, he's at work. Sometimes there is spiritual resistance. In Daniel 10, Daniel spent 21 days praying specific requests and promises to God. We read in Daniel 10, verses 12 to 14, "Then he," that is the angel, "said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come.'" So here we see Daniel had 21 days of wrestling and waiting and finally hearing from the Lord. But the vision that he was given was for days that are yet to come. So there's some really important points from that scripture. Firstly, God heard Daniel's prayer from the first day he prayed it. In response to his words, the mighty angel Gabriel had been sent with God's message to him. But because there was spiritual resistance, Gabriel could not get through to Daniel. Only when the angel Michael came, then God's answer to Daniel got through. And it was so powerful, that was why there was such a resistance that was there in the spiritual realm, because it was such a powerful vision that is for days yet to come. The Bible, especially in places like Ephesians 6, makes it clear that there is warfare going on in the spiritual realm. Our ongoing prayers and our faith are needed at times for some promises to break through into the reality and to break through the resistance that seems to be surrounding them. Ask God specifically to give you clear discernment about what if there is spiritual resistance, for this is a serious matter. And it's very easy a lot of times to simply blame the devil, but God is teaching us a number of perseverance lessons. He's teaching us how to stand on his word, how to declare his praises, and how to resist the enemy and see him flee from us. There is a place in our walk with the Lord where that might happen. One of the other things that can make us take a long time to walk in the fullness of what God has freely given us is the fact that God is not interested so much in the trial and all those sorts of things. He's more interested in our personal growth. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 1 to 3 says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh, and behaving only in a human way." Paul explains to them that he could not teach them or give them solid spiritual food because they were not yet mature enough to be able to receive it. And we start out in our walk with the Lord no different, but we have the opportunity to determine and to resolve to grow from the milk of the word and the simple teaching, and so that we can progress into the meat of the word and the more solid and deeper things that are revealed from scripture. Some promises God wants to release to us will only benefit us when we are spiritually mature enough to receive them. The main question we need to ask ourselves here is, am I being faithful with the things that God has already entrusted to me? Am I being obedient to the last thing he asked me to do? Am I being diligent and consistent with reading his word and wanting to grow? If I faithfully use what he's already entrusted to me, and I am being obedient to that last instruction that he has made clear to me, then he can entrust me with more. As we grow, God can release more to us so that we grow without feeling overwhelmed. One of the other things that can be a little bit of a hindrance along the way to walking freely in the promises of God is that we need to check our own reluctance and our own disobedience. In Hebrews 3-4, God tells us that many people in the Exodus from Egypt did not go into the promised land. They did not go into Israel because they would not believe what God had told them in the wilderness. There was reluctance to accept what God was saying. There was disobedience to follow through on things. As a result of their reluctance and unbelief, they disobeyed God's instructions. They had seen incredible miracles, but sadly, they were stuck in the negative mentality of the past. And they even wanted to go back there. We'd be better off in Egypt, they told Moses. Why have you brought us out here into the desert to die? So they were stuck in that negative mindset that the slavery that they were part of back there, that they would be better off being back there. So their past and their reluctance to believe God and their disobedience to follow through with his instructions meant that they could not go forward, and their unbelief resulted in them staying and dying in the wilderness instead of possessing the promises that the land and God's blessings had been given to them. This kept that group of people from receiving all that God had wanted and intended for them to have. So we need to check our own reluctance and disobedience and not be trapped by the negativity of the past. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, "For good news came to us just as to them," that them is those who were in the wilderness, "but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith." In other words, they did not believe. And they were those who listened, that was Joshua and Caleb. So they were told the good news in the wilderness along with everybody else. But the message did not benefit them because they were not believing. They were not united in faith. They were not agreeing with Joshua and Caleb, who said, "Yes, there are giants in the land, but we can overcome them with God." So we have to be careful that we don't let the experiences of the past cripple us into missing out on God's promises for here, for now, and in the future. Don't let those negative things cripple you from missing out on God's promises here, now, and in the future. Do we hear ourselves saying, "Well, I'm imprisoned by my past, and I don't see God as able to fulfill his promises in me and through me"? Or do we say, "Well, I'll just cruise along, and if it happens, it happens. I'm not worried either way"? Or do we say, "God promised this, and he has the power to do it. Even if it seems impossible, I'm going to go with what God has said"? That's our choice. Hebrews 6 verses 11 to 12 says, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the same full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Our beliefs and our responses really do matter. We must have earnest hope until the end. Am I going to believe what God has said, what God has promised, or am I going to become sluggish? Am I going to trust Him for His promises being fulfilled? Am I going to build myself up in my most holy faith as I see others do, as I see them exhibiting faith and patience and determination? And am I going to encourage myself and others as I lay hold of God for all that He has promised? This leads us into the next step, which is never give up and never give in. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up." Enduring, persevering, overcoming faith is necessary in all our lives to receive the fullness of God's promises to us. One of God's big goals in our lives is to develop that persevering faith, that utter determination. Romans 4, Romans 5, James 1, Hebrews 6 all talk about the importance of persevering in our faith and the incredible blessings that come when we endure while believing. The reason Paul told us not to grow weary in doing good, including persevering faith, is because it is possible to grow weary, even to the point of burnout. But Paul encouraged us, do not grow weary in doing good. Never ever tire of believing God's promises for you. We all have an inner timer on how long we think something should take. And if it takes longer than what we think it should, it tempts us to give up. Get others to stand with you. Get others to pray for you. Be around folk who will encourage and inspire and will you on to keep going in your work. Aaron and Hur held Moses' weary arms up that the battle might go well for them. When Moses' arms drooped and started to fall, the battle went against them. So he had help. He had Aaron and Hur who came alongside to encourage him and to bear him up at that time. Why do you think persevering faith is written about so often in Scripture? It is one of God's primary goals, and it is His means of maturing us and making us more like Jesus. It is also where so many of His promises are eventually received, and how sweet that is. Keep believing God's word. Keep on believing in His promises. Keep on believing that He who has promised is faithful. Let's not grow weary in doing good, because we will reap in due season. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What is impossible with us, what is impossible with man, is possible with God. Let us consider how to encourage and spur one another on, and to be there and to pray for and to encourage along the way." And of course, it all boils down to the fact that God always fulfills His promises. He cannot deny His character and His attributes. Psalm 119 verse 90 says, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. And Psalm 119 is a 176 verses long psalm, and it's all about the excellencies of God's word. These great truths testify of this fact of his character, that God is faithful. You can't outlive him, you can't outrun him, you can't outdistance him. He is faithful. So I think we are all in a season, in one way or another, of waiting on God's promises. We wait in the supermarket. We wait in the bank. We wait at traffic lights. We wait for small children to put their shoes on and for teenagers to get ready. Patiently, of course. Toot, toot, toot on the horn. We're leaving now. Come on. According to factsite.com, the average person spends 5 years throughout their lifetime waiting in lines and waiting in queues. And sometimes we can get a little frustrated and ask, how long, O Lord? I'm not getting any younger here. But I must remind myself I am a work in progress. There have been times when God's apparent inaction has caused me to take matters into my own hands. And instead of waiting, I have enthusiastically leapt headlong into a mess of my own creating. If only I had just waited upon the Lord. Thankfully, we have a Father who already knows our missteps. He has compassion and mercy, and he sends valuable lessons into our lives during these waiting periods, even the mistakes we make, so that nothing is ever wasted. Consider any of the 66 books of the Bible and you will see the common thread of waiting. So what do we do while we wait on God's promises? God's waiting for God is not passive. It's proactive, and it proves our sincerity in trusting him as we wait. There are vital things to be aware of when waiting for those promises. When a promise applies to every believer, then this is considered a general promise and given by the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of that promise can happen in our lives at any time. We also see and have specific promises addressed to individuals, as we've seen from Scripture and as we possibly know in our own lives. And those are things that the Holy Spirit sends, and we still have that joy of waiting for those to be fulfilled, as long as they are confirmed promises from God. So what do we need to do as we wait? Pray and worship. Talk to God. Praise him. Thank him. Worship him. Bring your requests and petitions. Cry to him. Call out to him. But above all, make sure you talk with him. Waiting is also that time of preparation. Use the time wisely. Spend more time in prayer, all the while listening and expecting the Lord to speak to you, especially through his word. While you're waiting, don't strive. That doesn't mean we should be lazy or passive, but we need to trust God. We need to take a deep breath. Timing is everything, and his timing, as we said earlier, is precise and impeccable. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, let be and be still, and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He may actually just simply want us to sit at his feet and wait. Perhaps in that time, what he's really wanting us to do is to draw nearer to him. The other thing that you can do while you wait is do what is at hand to do with what you have, wherever you are. Prefer, love, serve, and pray for others. it will always take our mind off ourselves and our situations when we put others first. How can I pray for that person? How can I help out and serve that family? How can I bless that friend? Continue in that waiting time to immerse yourself in His Word. Let the Word of God encourage you and bless you. Let it teach you and strengthen you. Let it inspire you to fulfill God's plans and purposes for you. Here are some wonderful scriptures to close that I know will encourage you. They'll be on the screen, but if you just want to close your eyes and let the Holy Spirit speak to you from them as I share them. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And finally, Galatians 6, verse 9 from the Amplified Bible. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. God's timing is always perfect, precise, and impeccable. His ways and His thoughts are not our ways or our thoughts. He will never, ever abandon His children. He promises to finish what He starts. Ask the Lord to give you courage and grow you as you wait for Him. Keep talking, keep listening, keep reading, keep working and doing what is at hand to do while you wait. For remember, God always fulfills His promises. The Lord bless you.